Hello, this is Jerry Visco on Radio Free Brooklyn, and it is called Visco Disco, The Stupid Show, and it is every Friday at midnight, so I want all of you to listen to this every week, honey buns. You have no choice. I'm going to hypnotize you. Anyway, tonight, guess who our big guest is? The actor and brilliant person, Ron Jeremy. Yes, Ron Jeremy is a brilliant actor who is known for pornography, but he's also done lots of mainstream films and music videos. And I met Ron back in the 80s when I worked for Al Goldstein. I was his assistant, and he would come in there. But also, Al was a recent guest on my panel at the New York City Porn Festival, which was last weekend, and he is a great guy, and I did interview him. Now, the first part of this interview was in his hotel room, and I went there late at night. Now, guess what happened? I'm not going to tell you. Anyway, I was there in his hotel room, and I interviewed him. And then the second part of the interview was out front of the porn festival, and there was a stupid jerk who was a journalist who wrote a crappy article about the porn festival, and I won't say her name. So it does. She does interview him, and I do chime in a bit. So just keep in mind that she is interviewing him, and we're out front in front of the porn festival, which was in Williamsburg. Then the other parts of the interview were actually on the panel, so you can hear the audience laughing, and it's pretty funny. And he does tell us some good information. And now I think it will help those of you, if any of you have sexual problems, which probably a lot of people do, listen to this, because Al Goldstein, he was my employer, but Ron Jeremy, he is an expert on sex because he's one of the most famous and notorious porn stars in all of pornography right now and for years. And so I will give you some advice, for example. Now, he does give you some advice about how to deal with things, both for women and men. But what was interesting was at the backstage of the porn festival, he was interested in my tits, so he did grab them. But then he asked me to, like, grab his dick, which I did. And I put my hand in his pants, and let's put it this way. He does have a very large penis. It's, like, 9 3/4 long, and he is able to give himself a blowjob, and he does talk about that in the interview. But also, what I found amazing was that he demonstrated to me that he was able to go hard, soft, hard, soft, hard, soft. You know, that's why he's been so successful as a male pornography star, because he can get it hard and erect very quick. So I do think that's quite interesting. I will also mention that I'm working on my memoir, and I did write a little bit about working with Al Goldstein, who I do think is brilliant and was a friend of Ron's. But this is what I was experiencing, and it was in 1983. One of my first day jobs was working in the tumultuous office of Al Goldstein's magazine, Screw Magazine. And it's a fabulous magazine, by the way. Al was on the phone with Hugh Hefner and Larry Flint on a daily basis. Cable TV sex star Robin Bird and legendary porn actor Ron Jeremy would periodically stop by to say hi. Making my way in this world, a suburban middle-class 20-something girl, was like being Moll Flanders in a picaresque novel, although my journey traversed the underbelly of Manhattan. As Lou Reed said, I took a walk on the wild side. Anyway, hello, listeners. This is Jerry Visco on Radio Free Brooklyn. We're going to listen to Ron Jeremy, who is phenomenal, and I'm sure most of you have seen him in films, but he's been in so many, he's been in more than 2,500 films. Pornography and mainstream television music videos. I'm going to play it. We're going to play one of his songs. Dirty Farms, what's the name of that song?
It's called Freak of the Week.
Freak of the Week. And yes, Dirty Farms is here because he was at the pornography at New York City Porn Fest. Dirty Farms, what did you think about Ron Jeremy? Did you like him?
Yeah, I liked him. He was funny.
Yeah, funny?
Yeah.
And he liked you too. And you did do a video which wasn't shown there, but we'll be making sure to get it shown after that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, listen up, babies. Love you, honeys. Bye. The song you're listening to is a fabulous Lords of Acid, who I love, song called Am I Sexy? And I think I am sexy, but it's also Oliver's French Tickler mix. So have fun.
Hey, want a party? My sexy human. Follow me and you will know. Am I sexy human? Follow me and you will know.
'Cause
who else could be this handsome if they're nice schmeckle?
I know.
It's got to be me.
Okay, Ron. Ron Jeremy, I met you at the... Well, I knew you before, of course, in 1980 with Al Goldstein, but...
Yeah, you
met
you for him, I think.
Yes, right? I was his assistant.
I was in his office a lot. I'd watch him do these meetings, these editorial meetings with the old guys. You know, it was kind of fun. You know.
Were you friends?
Me and Al were very, very good friends. I went to his home in Florida. He had the place on Pompano, which had the giant two-story finger. Remember that? Telling all the boats to slow down, no wake
yes.
zone.
Yeah.
And I went to his home, and he was living next door to Bill Cosby.
Yes, I remember Bill
and,
Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
Yes.
He lived right next door to him at a townhouse uptown east side.
Yeah.
And then, me and Al had gone all over the country together. In fact, we went over the world together. We did a gig together. We did a movie together in Martinique. So, no, me and Al had a lot of crazy experiences. We did two films together that were bought by Metro Home Video.
Which films?
One was called High Heels and Hot Wheels, where lipstick meets the dipstick. It was a Metro movie that it was shot at a car dealership near where he was living in Pompano, Florida. We did a second film called Al Goldstein, Ron Jeremy Screwed in Florida, based on the success of his magazine called Screw.
Yes. I was thinking just earlier, maybe it'd be fun to do a remake of Screw and call it Screw 2 or something.
Well, the Board of Trustees, I mean, it's the bankruptcy court's own Screw. They're still releasing it, I think, but without Al, it's got no personality.
Absolutely.
Know? But from what I understand, that's what they're still doing.
Yeah, I think I called there once. I forget why. But anyway, so, Ron, you were at the New York City Porn Festival. You came here from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know, what is it that you're up to these days? Like, what are your things that you're doing mostly lately?
Well, I'm taking up harmonica.
Do you sing too?
I actually rap okay a little bit anyway.
Oh really?
I give my best shot, but I suck. but I have a hit single that was on Billboard 27 weeks.
Well, I'd love to play it when you
Freak of the Week with DJ.
Oh
Polo
yeah, Freak of the Week. Yes.
You can see it on YouTube.
I can get it. Yes, I'll play it.
Freak of the Week, DJ Polo. That's
yes.
It. get a topless version. It's a good version. I got Sir Mix-a-Lot, Lemmy from Motorhead's in it, Lynn Redgrave, Grandpa Munster, Sally Kirkland. It's a great video. Hope you like it. And we went gold. Billboard charts, 27 weeks.
I saw it. It's great.
How many adult film actors have 27 weeks on the charts?
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
And I suck. That's what makes it even funnier. I can't rap worth the beans.
Well, but you have an acting talent, that's for sure.
Well, I like to think I've studied. You know, I had Lee Strasberg. Actually, I got accepted to Lee Strasberg. Didn't go because he passed away.
Oh.
So I went and got my bachelor's from Queens College. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Have you ever been teaching at all?
Yes.
Recently?
It's been a while. I taught mentally challenged kids about 20-some-odd years ago.
And where did you do it?
Jamaica. Association of the Blind and Retarded, AABR. Out in Dix Hills, BOCES. I was a substitute teacher out there. I taught up in the Catskill Mountains full-time. I was once the Flagler Hotel became the probably ghost there, too. It's an old building. But the Flagler Hotel became the Crystal Run School.
Did you enjoy doing it, or did you find it difficult?
I enjoyed working with kids. It was always a nice experience. Trying to make them, you know, academics for daily living, we called it.
And you switched then from that to porn? Was that what you were...
I went from teaching upstate New York.
Yes.
I wanted to be an actor my whole life. Now,
yeah.
I did all the theaters up there. There was the Hurleyville Playhouse. There was the Monticello Playhouse. I started doing comedy, being like a Borscht Belt comic. You know, and, you know, admiring the guys like Sal Richards, Malzy Lawrence. And I was up there doing comedy and making a living doing it. It was kind of fun. The Borscht Belt, they called it. The Jewish Catskills,
yes.
You know.
Right.
But then I wanted to be an actor and give them the best shot. So I quit the Catskills, quit teaching. I went to do theater in New York. And then from theater, I went to doing plays. And I did plays in Los Angeles.
And what kind of plays were they mostly?
Just regular theater, like Government Inspector, My Fair Lady. I was Ali Hackam, you know, and it was kind of fun. And after doing the theater, I saw how bad the job market was. Actors could not get a job. No how. I said, well, you know, I'm going to... They want me to do adult. I did a Playgirl, a little layout. A Guy Next Door. And I was super skinny. I had not an ounce of fat on me. And the schmeckle looks so much bigger when you have a smaller stomach. I don't think you need to know this, but it's something us guys need to know. So anyway,
I understand.
I did porn for about after I did Playgirl, I did porn for 33 years. That's been the happiest 33 years of my life.
It never bored you? You always enjoyed it?
Always enjoyed it.
But you were lucky to get decent gigs probably, right?
Yes, I had great gigs. Good agents got me on good shows. I did comedy, even in porn. I did strip clubs, like MC wet t-shirt contests, banana eating contests, you know. Say hello to Jerry contests.
Banana eating?
Yes. And
I once won a hot dog eating contest when I was a teenager.
I once saw you eating a banana. You know what I said? I find you very appealing. Oh, come on, folks. Get it? Appealing? Okay.
But in other words, you were...
I wrote a song about it.
Really?
Peeling's nothing more than...
That's funny. Yeah.
You always say.
But anyway, you were lucky to get good gigs because I think sometimes people do porn flicks and it's like so-so, right?
I came in at the right time. They call it the golden era of porn.
Yes.
I came in at the right time. It was like the very beginning of the 80s, you know, and right through for the 80s and 90s, you know, and it's when they called the golden era because it was actual filmmaking, great little movies, a little class to them, you know.
If you were to say, what would be your one of the couple of favorites of your films that you did?
Fascination. Girls Next Door, Bad Girls 1, Bad Girls 2, W Pink TV 1, W Pink TV 2, Roommates, I can go on Flesh and Fantasy, great film from Gerard Damiano, the master.
Right.
I had the lead role, so that was great. I love getting lead roles because in most porn films, they don't want to give a man a lead role, you know. So I used to get a real kick out of getting one. Yeah.
And you do some porn films now?
Rarely, once in a while.
Occasionally?
I'm booked to work on a high-budget adult movie called Pirates. I was supposed to go work on that, but they were pushing back a little.
And where is it going to be filmed?
Not sure.
And so that's something that's coming up?
Yes. We haven't shot it yet, but yeah.
And do you have any other projects coming up that are of interest to you?
I'm in a movie called Range 15. It's a little cameo. It's put on by Rangers and veterans of different wars. Guys wearing their Purple Hearts, the Airman Medal of Honor. I saw these guys wearing these little self. Definitely, I mean, they deserve it completely because they risked their lives, you know.
And that's another film, a regular feature film?
Yes, it's called, it's called Range 15, made by veterans. A lot of veterans are in the movie, along with Shatner, William Shatner, Danny Trejo, myself in a cameo. It's going to be a fun movie, dedicated to soldiers who sacrifice their lives every day.
One of the interesting things about your career is that you were able to transition from pornography to regular films, because back in the old days, there was a prejudice. It was prejudice now. Not so much now, less so.
It still is now, to some extent, like it was a Disney film.
Yeah.
I know better than to even bother auditioning. If it's going to be a Disney movie, I'm going to stay home.
Yeah.
Say, look, I appreciate the connection, but they're not going to hire me. But sometimes you never know.
But doesn't it seem a little bit less prejudice than it used to be?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Way better now than before.
What else? I'd be interested to hear. What do you think about the world in today's world?
What do I think about the world?
How do you describe today's world? Do you enjoy the way things are now?
And some of my things are going really well. I'm proud to be part of this planet, and I think I'm leaving it in good shape. Other times I go, you know, things aren't so good. You know, we had no business going into Iraq. They took the equipment that we left, upgraded it, now using it on us. We trained Osama bin Laden how to get the Russians out of Afghanistan and left them flat. It's like, we're the greatest country in the world, and we have some of the worst foreign policy in the world. It's my whole pet peeve.
Well, at least there's no more Vietnam problems.
That is correct.
But what do you think about the day-to-day world? I mean, the digital aspect and all this other stuff. Do you enjoy it, or do you find it...
Sure.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But in terms of acting, it hasn't changed anything, right?
No, but eventually it might, because they keep saying how the big day is going to come when they're going to bring actors in to just... do a few expressions with their mouths and say, thank you, you're dismissed for life. you don't need actors anymore.
And you're living in Los Angeles now, right?
Yes.
And you like it there?
A lot.
Yeah.
I got Runyon Canyon right next door to me. People hike the mountains, and good-looking girls. I take a yoga class once every couple of weeks. The same class
wow.
Demi Moore used to take.
And Demi Moore, yeah.
And then I also, the yoga Demi, and also... The building I live in, you know, on Franklin Avenue, gorgeous girls. So
yeah.
Basically, I tell my friends, I have absolutely breathtaking women. You know, my building, my yoga class, and my yoga class, and the Runyon Canyon Mountain, all have gorgeous girls and gay men, which is just the way I like it.
You were never married?
No.
Yeah, that could be difficult.
Yeah, to be in my lifestyle, marriage would be tough. Although many, many wives or girlfriends are okay with, like, the alternate situation.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, you can be with other partners as long as it's honest and no one lies about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, what else do you want to say? And if you have anything else to say or what?
Should we announce our engagement right now?
Sure. Go for it.
Hey, listen, I enjoyed your scene the other day.
Yes.
Nice, very nice. Were you reliving the wonderful moments when you were looking at that? Were you?
Yes.
Nice. You worked with a really good guy named Herschel Savage. Yeah?
Yeah.
The next thing, that film, Joy, is about, I think, 6 months before my time. I was not in the business yet. I think it was Herschel Savage's first movie.
That was my first full feature film.
You came across great. Sharon Mitchell looked amazing.
The what?
The lead, Joy.
Oh, yeah, she looked
Mitchell,
beautiful.
She's great, yeah.
She was very young then.
Yes.
And really, really excellent actress.
She is. She went on to establish AIM Healthcare. You know, she was looking after the industry's medical.
Yeah, she's
and
brilliant.
And doing a fine job, too.
She's a very brilliant actress and person.
Yeah.
Sometimes people that are in pornography are just, they're not respected, which is not right.
That's correct.
Yeah. What other were there any particular porn actors or actresses that you remember as enjoying working with? Or
I loved working with Taylor Wayne, Terry Weigel, Sunny Lane, Tabitha Stevens, Christy Canyon, Those are my favorites.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did
nice,
you know
nice,
John Holmes?
Natural big boobies.
Did you know John Holmes?
I knew John very well. Yeah.
What did you think of him?
Things were a little weird with him because
yeah,
he was gonna go across an ocean and work. He was gonna leave L.A. and go to Italy, I think, and take on a character, but he left out a very important fact about his life that he hadn't told anybody. You know, and you really have no business doing that. Yeah, I kind of outed him on it. I said that, you know, they had a big interview about his documentary, and I said, with all due fairness, didn't he work with a horse? You know, and now that it's a hat, well, you know, it's, I don't know what to do.
You were a consultant on Boogie Nights, right?
Yes.
And so what did you do for that?
I brought the actors on my sets to learn about the business, taught them all about the world of porn, because they need to get, they're playing actors and directors, they have to know their business. They don't want to come along as looking stupid, right?
Did you like the movie, ultimately?
Yes, a lot.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it was good, too.
It was a nice microcosm of the business as a whole.
Yeah. Well, Ron, what can you tell our listeners? Can you give them any advice about the world, sex, or anything?
In the words of Sam Kennison, lick the alphabet. That's all you got to do. Because the girl is saying all these crazy things you're doing, she'll think, wow, where did he learn all this? And then as Sam would say, it gives the illusion that you care. It's very chauvinistic, I think. But it was at least funny, right?
Okay, Ron. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, give me the last question. I'm sorry, I got tired.
All right, what else can you tell our audience, our listeners, about sexuality? Any advice?
Well, the words of Sam Kennison, guys, lick the alphabet. You have a beautiful girl in front of you. She's happy having you near her. So show a little appreciation and, you know, treat her vagina not like it's painting a fence, like with the up and down stroke. Give her a real thrill. Think of different things to do. Move your face crossways, up and down, sideways, diagonal. Give the girl a real ride. And all the time you're doing that, your tongue is right there. Now, you want to start by simply smiling and saying hello, because the bar is starting to get people in it, you know?
Well, anyway, great seeing you.
Let's say the last question again. I'm sorry.
The last question?
Couldn't fathom it.
No, I just said if you had any advice, but you gave the audience.
Oh, yeah,
advice.
Like lick the alphabet, like
yeah.
Some cancer would say. And make sure the girl has an orgasm before you do. You know,
what can you tell the girls?
It's very important, by the way.
What about girls? What should
make
they do?
Make her come before she even sees your dick. Why not?
What should girls be doing?
In the kitchen, cooking for us, and then sewing. No, most girls today are like real career women. Like, look at Stanford. My cousin goes to Stanford. I mean, there's a lot of... Women are going to school. The days of them not doing that are over. You know, they get a babysitter, a daycare center. They bring a little junior to the, you know, certain years that she can't take care of them, you know, when they're working, you know, so. When you're teaching Pilates, I guess it's good to have a backup, you know.
Yeah. Okay, anything else you'd like to say to us?
No, just that it's a nice honor to be in front of your to be in your iPod. It's an iPod, right? Internet,
well, it's a phone.
Okay. I apologize for just being so tired.
That's okay.
I've been here for...
What time
slept.
Is it? Like 2 in the morning?
I haven't slept one bit since I got here off the plane from...
Yeah, you've been busy.
Yeah, nonstop.
And people, they're always running after you. Do you find that annoying?
No.
Everybody wants to take a picture with you.
They can take a picture of the schmeckle. It's okay with me.
Yeah. You're very easygoing with that, which I did admire.
Okay. So cute.
Anyway, thank you, Ron.
Thank you, man.
Great
you.
Seeing you.
Thank
I hope
you
come
so
back
much.
To New York sometime.
I will, of course. Thank
Although
you.
I don't blame you. L.A. is fun, too.
Yeah, they're all doing good.
All right. Hi,
man.
Thank you.
Hello. This is going to be Ron Jeremy and his song, Freak of the Week. And he's doing with DJ Polo. It's a fabulous song, and it's a fabulous video, so watch it. And you are a freak of the week if you're listening to the show. Listen to it, baby.
Check it out. Once again, right here live. Straight from New York. DJ Cole, my homeboy Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
And we kicking this live. Check it out, boys. It goes something like this. Just in case you didn't know. Yes, my name is Polo. I'm getting trimmed like a barber. Some after
Those girls, because you're holding back. And you'll also, and if you don't come, you'll be a better lover the next day. Because you're a little more frustrated now, you know?
Got it.
You wait one or two or three days, you're going to be a monster at that point, you know?
Okay.
She just goes like this, you're going to get a raging, you know? And that's, so holding back is one of the best ideas.
Got it.
I think just holding back. And as far as being a better lover, what you asked earlier, think about let the girl climax first. Because now it comes out of Kennison had a funny joke. He'd say, it gives the illusion that you care.
Right, of course, but you do not.
But you do care. No, guys want to make a girl come for a lot of reasons. Because A, we care. B, it's romantic and sexy. C, the girl will give you a good review.
Right,
of course.
If you
do a nice job,
you really need reviews.
Her,
really, Ron Jeremy, you need a girl to review.
But girls will give her reviews. Like, oh, Bob, yeah.
Okay, I've got two more questions. That's it. And I'll send you back on your way, you beautiful man.
Why not? I haven't been called that in about 35 years.
How big is your
dick? My earlier films, it's 2 inches from the floor. Come on,
it's 9 inches and 3/4.
Really, how big is it?
It's 9 3/4.
9 3/4.
And guess what?
Right now, they're using it as
baby,
a speed bump.
So he auto-fillates. Ron knows how to auto-fillate.
Okay, the last question.
I
is that from yoga?
Hold on, one second, I kissed my penis when I was a kid. And then that kid, I did it when I was in Boy Scouts.
You can suck your own dick?
Yeah, I did it a couple of films.
Do you do better than anybody else?
Well, you know, Eddie Murphy.
Do you do a better job than the other people?
Hell no!
I've got one more question for you.
Eddie Murphy did a routine about it, for real. He mentioned my name. He said, is he gay if he kisses his own dick? Well, no, because he has his own dick. But if he comes in his own face,
no, it's
that's gay.
Gay.
And so he goes
it's
like
gay
this.
If you take dick in your ass, for sure.
Well, first of all, I wear a rubber because I know where he's been.
Right.
And then I give myself a wrong phone number so I don't call me anymore. I did it in a couple of films. It got a lot of funny attention, so... I did that, but that's not pleasing anyway. That's just goofy.
I get it.
Yeah,
of course.
But the trick is, you know, to be a better lover, just to be attentive, see what gets her going. When you hear her go,
you're old school. Dudes don't care about that. They just stick in her ass and come in her face. They don't care.
That's some of the movies now.
It's actually your fault. It's porn's fault for doing that. I think maybe.
Not really.
So thanks a lot for ruining all the men and the children.
Not really, because people have a very rushed attitude.
I'm just kidding. Here's my last question for you. Do you think it's possible to be monogamous?
Yes, emotionally. Physically, that's a tough one. Look, in the earlier days of Roman civilizations and all, they were not monogamous. They did all kinds of crazy things. Guys, girls, gay, relatives. I mean, you know, in the early days of Greek and Roman, and then along came the Judeo-Christians who put in guilt and changed everything
right.
around. But in the earlier days, it was no big deal to have sex outside marriage. In fact, today, in a lot of Asian countries, the husband stops by the geisha house, whatever, messes around. And it's
obviously.
Okay. And the thing is, and women can smoke a guy. Now, my neighbor's on a swing club in Portland, Oregon, called Ron Jeremy's Club, says so. And I've seen these swing clubs. Let me tell you something. 90% of the time, the girl could smoke the man.
Uh-huh.
He's done. He's done. He's finished. He's going up there with his friends having a sandwich. She's going, come on, who's next? Come on now.
So monogamy is not possible.
It's tough, but people like a little bit of... people like different flesh.
I know.
I mean, I'll prove it to you. Who here, here's my voice, likes different flesh once in a while?
Yeah.
I thought so. because it's a sad thing that people are like that, but you want something different sometimes.
Right.
And that's why, that's why the world of swinging came along. And I'm telling you, it works. I believe in emotional monogamy. Like, if I really have a girlfriend, right?
So you're thinking about somebody you love while you fuck strangers.
No, people do that too. That's normal sex. But I'm going to hear the violins in the background on this one. But I'm telling you, when I have a relationship, I would get pissed off if she held some guy's hand and walked in a park. You know, but horseback riding together.
Rather than taking his dick down
together.
Right.
Who cares about that? Or
nobody.
Or I would hold hands and walk.
Holding
look
hands
at the sunset
is gross.
And
dick
the beach.
Sucking is totally fine.
Or like cuddling after they have sex.
How
I'll
dare
kill
you?
Both
how
of them.
Dare you?
You cuddle? Dead. Put the penis in. Take it out. And then have a sandwich. You know, something. No, but there's. A lot of guys, they start to agree and go, yeah, you're right.
What
do you
right.
care if she wants to fuck some kid, let her have some fun for a little while? But then it's the romance that makes the big difference. But that carries through as you get older and maybe not as good looking as you were when you were younger. I think emotional monogamy is very nice. You grow older, somebody, get to know them, have kids. But physical monogamy is murder. And I don't think we necessarily were meant to be like that. As long as you do it honestly, you can maybe watch each other or do partial swinging. Where you stay with your own. I'll show you what it looks like. You like
okay.
this? You like it. See, you like this.
Yeah.
Chief shot. And
yeah.
And a hand touches a boob, hand touches a guy's cock. And, you know, so you can do things that's Nicely
I
done.
Don't know what happened.
Nicely
it was
mosaic.
A natural reflex.
That's good. I think
right.
Yeah. Swatting flies. I do that. Just, no, so, so as long as you know, you're honest and you do things together and you know, unfairly and there's no cheating, it really works out.
There's no cheating. It's a great one.
You're doing it together. You're doing it as a team.
There's no lying.
You're
that's
together.
What you mean. No
well,
lying.
Well, yeah, but okay, so it's allowed cheating, yeah. And I've seen it work amazingly well because the monogamy is the romance is monogamous. The sex, no. I think it's a, and it's everyone knows this. A lot of divorces happen because nobody wants
nobody
to
nobody knows this. Everybody's
there's
pretending like
expression.
It's possible to have happy ever after, but it's not possible.
I call it the Angelina Jolie Brad Pitt syndrome. And a lot of people say it and it sounds so cruel, but it's true that for every gorgeous girl and every gorgeous guy that's out there, there is somebody who is
trying to fuck them?
Tired of fucking them.
Oh, tired of them. Yeah, of course.
It's brutal and it's mean, but the fact is, when you're with someone for a long period of time, that's why often a little spike, even some sex therapists say, you know, Johnny, there's things to pipe, you know, spike your, you know, toys, porn films, role-playing costumes, wardrobe, exotic locations, abstention. These are all things that work. Or swinging.
Of course.
And they put that in the list. There's things you could do, too. Together, as a team, safely, healthy, and I've seen it work. New York's got a couple of good clubs.
It does. I'd love to go with you
do.
One day. Maybe not tonight.
They weren't tonight.
Come on, Jeremy.
That's fun. You'd be a great partner.
I am so grateful to have had this moment with you.
Your first VHSs were X-rated, and Betacams, VHSs, interactive CD-ROMs, CD-ROMs, DVDs. Now the internet porn has always been a huge deal in all these various technological breakthroughs. And science and engineers have given porn the credit as being an experimental medium. The main thing being the pre-recorded tapes. Your first pre-recorded tapes that you go home, put into the machine, were X-rated. And people realized at that point that people wanted to see porn, they just didn't want to go to those theaters. Before you'd be sitting down and go, that is disgusting. Someone left their kids on this show. So things are changing, and then they all, people, a lot of young couples, doctors, lawyers, teachers, they all go to the store and get a porno film for the husband and wife, maybe they get like a Disney film for the kids, all under one roof. And that was a big boom. That was a real golden age of porn because business was booming. You know, couples did want to see porn, but not in the theater, in their own privacy. So,
absolutely,
it's
a great deal.
And also, another big change was that the girls were getting better looking, and it was becoming more of a business. When I got in the industry, and McKelly compared this out, it was like a hippy-dippy, sexually free, sexually, just the Woodstock anti-Vietnam generation.
It was like a statement.
It was an offshoot of the earlier years of 1969 in Woodstock. Where I was for half an hour, by the way, I was serving as a waiter over the Catskills. So then, it was that kind of flower children, peace, loving, long hair attitude that prevailed in the early porn. It was more fun. No one really thought about the money. Nobody cared. Just fun things to do, you know. And
but did the actors get paid better?
It was a big business because Amber Lynn was one of the originals. Started making the big bucks and traveling around the country and working at nightclubs and making a tremendous. In fact, she did it in Queens. You know, she started to perform in these nightclubs as a dancer, and all these other house girls said, wait a minute, I'm making $1,000 a week. She's making $18,000 the same week. I can go to LA, I can suck some dick, for God's sakes. So we had this whole influx of girls. The vast majority of girls getting into porn were dancers, and that's how it all started. Now they come from dancing, camcorder girls, and all stuff. But back then, dancers, and it was largely due to Amber Lynn. She was kind of prices she was getting.
She was Rochelline,
And then, to take it a step further, then Jenna Jameson comes along and shows that she could sell her company, Club Jenna, for $13 million for Playboy. So the days of insulting the girls in porn as, oh, just a bunch of little sluts, go, really? She just made $13 million. And her boyfriend's going to punch you right in the face. So things have totally changed, you know, so it became more of a business. Where it is today, it's a huge, huge business. The girls are getting financial advisors, going to H&R Block for their taxes.
But do you think that the actors are paid better then or better now?
Well, I think it's nice now. And they're choosing their own destiny. Back then, the girls worked with the director, the producer, distributor, exhibitor. Now, the girls often work for themselves. They have their own website, and they hire the guy, or the webmaster, or the girl.
Yeah,
or
like,
they do their own web work.
Like Rocco Siffredi, that is doing his own stuff since years in Budapest. I don't know if you know Rocco Siffredi, but he's a friend of Ron, and he's doing his stuff himself.
And the girls make the bigger bucks. No choice about it, a lot more. The guys make a section, $300-$400. That's about usually the tops. girls make, you know, a minimum of a grand usually, you know, for, unless it's anal, and anal for us sounds like this. That's anal. But then they get more for that, of course. And so things have, so it's become more of a business. That's, I guess, the best way that it's changed. It's becoming a business and a lucrative business, too. So, and girls realize that. Now they're going into it from a business sense, not just a sexual exhibition self. You look at the girls from the old days, Nina Hartley, Vanessa Del Rio, Samantha Fox, Lizzie Lovay, Ryan Dominique, Kenneth Around. I can go on and on and on. It was just a fun thing to do. And there's money. But now the girls of today, it's strictly money. It's a much bigger deal. You know?
They're money oriented, very much money oriented.
Also, another thing that was very interesting was the merging of two industries, the escort industry and porn. And when I first got into it, and you knew about it back then, that either the girl did porn or escort.
Yeah,
was
never both.
Well, guess what I did?
Each girl made fun
guess what I did? I was an escort.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, in one way, I felt it was a bit more private. People didn't know. So there was an advantage to that.
Well, you did both, though.
I did both, but I was more of an escort. Yeah. For example, Nan Golden, the photographer, she did some escort, but she was a stripper. And I thought, do I really want to be a stripper and have everybody see me up there on the stage? Maybe not, because, you know, I'd rather do it in private. But anyway, Ron, I just want to mention something that you did yesterday that I want everybody to understand. Wait a minute. Can you people shut up?
Had
there's
sex.
Some chit-chatting.
Did
touched,
I talk to somebody?
Ron's penis. And guess what? It's very large, and he knows how to autofillate. Anybody in the audience know how to autofillate? He can teach you.
Thank you for sharing.
But he knows how to do it hard and do it soft. Like he's brilliant with that. That's one of the reasons why he's such a success. Can you show us how to do it?
He knows how to see.
No, wait. I want to help the people in here. Does anybody have impotency problems here?
Will
ever?
Stop this already.
No, I want Ron to give us some secrets. He knows the stuff. He's brilliant. Tell us how you did it.
Very easy.
If you're a guy, bend down as far as you can go. And if Michele Capozzi, because he's not that heavy, jump on your back. When you come out of the hospital, you find your dick somewhere in your own face. I did it as a joke for a couple of movies. They asked me on The View, actually, of Bob Walters. They asked about that little trick and how that thing just started. True story, and I'm making this up. I was in Boy Scouts. They took those upstate New York, 10-mile River Boy Scout camp. There we go. I'm from New York originally. So yeah, I'm tying up my boots, you know? And I'm noticing, wait a second, I kiss my dick while I'm doing this. But what the fuck? So this is all true.
Can you
so
do it now?
Will you hush up? Wait a minute.
So can't you? Like show us.
No.
Why?
I have a bit of a boner. I can't just do it. Limp,
all right.
You know, so I call my dad on the phone. Dad, is it? We had only phone booths back then. It's collect my father. Thanks. Dad, I'm 15 years old. Yes. I can kiss my own penis. Is that weird? My dad goes, oh, yeah. But I guess it's harmless. Is anybody in the room right now? No, just we're alone. Good. Allow me to be the only person you ever tell this to, okay? Nobody needs to know. And it's not a really big deal that you can kiss your penis. I just suggest don't do it. Because when you get to be 18, there are girls who are going to kiss it for you.
That's
literally what my dad realized back then at age 15. I've been doing it in front of a camera at age 27. But anyway, the most important thing to keep in mind that I do wear a rubber because I don't know where he's been. I don't trust him. And I give myself a wrong phone number so I don't call me anymore. And Eddie Murphy did a whole routine about it, by the way. It really is funny. Because he mentions my name and all. Because, you know, he says, is it gay? Well, no, it's his own dick and his own face. But does he come in his face? That's gay. So I go like this and go, ho, like that. Then it's not gay, then it's okay. That's my autofillation story.
But anyway, somebody asked me if you do still do this, maybe because you suck your own cock.
The more I spend time at the buffet, the less my chances. Because by now, I did try it the other day just to show off. I can still kiss the tip. That's about it. I see.
And would you say you're better? Are you better than most of the people that have done it to you? Would you say you're better at it?
Hell no. It just is a goof. I'm asking you guys, audience, would you rather someone else jerk your cock or you jerk your cock? You might like both, but you prefer the extra person, you know. So, I mean, I could do it, but I'd rather have some nice, sexy female suck on it. Or Miguel.
Somebody in the audience. Some women.
Yeah, you have a call for volunteers. That's a smart thing.
It's better than a new one in the audience.
Yeah. That ain't gonna happen. That'd be funny. No, so what else are you taking notes? Some guy in the back door go, hey, you said yes to that. Just suck on step.
I was like, when I do these college lectures, they talk about anal sex. I was like, with a show of hands, who in this audience, and there's like a couple thousand college kids, who's ever had anal sex? I realized they're not going to raise their hand. Because every time the last row is going to go. That's why no one, then later on, they all came out to me in the autograph sign going, oh yeah, I love it. Why don't you raise your damn hand? I'm like, these guys still have my hand. Makes sense. And once again, drop your car keys. Oh, I'll get it. That's what it says. Okay. You got anything else?
Good.
I don't know. I don't know. We have some DVDs to show, but I don't know when we're supposed to show them. What do you think? Is anybody in charge here?
No!
Well, I am the boss,
oh, yes.
But you, anyway...
You should do another...
To my face, Peter Roth's face, because they're looking at the beautiful girl. So in a heterosexual porn film, the girl makes the bigger bucks, and they are the fantasy, and they are featured on the box cover way more than the guy. In fact, sometimes you can have a film with Rocco or Peter North or me in it, we're not even on the box cover, the girl is, because she's the draw. We're the guy you might like to see, hey, look, there's Peter North, give a nice little banging scene there. But you're not looking at him as, you know...
Ron.
We're looking at the other side of the penis.
I have a question.
Actually, hold on, in the gay films, then you are the draw. The guy, they always have like muscular guys, usually, because then they are the fantasy. So that's why the gay male actors make way more, three times what the heterosexual porn actors make.
Ron, I have a question.
Agony.
I want to have a question. What do you think about, are there any really great film, porn films of the present that you would recommend or types, you know, directors or whatever?
I'm a big fan of storyline. And again, one of the big changes too, which Miguel could back me up, is in the old days, we had real filmmakers making porn because it was shot on film. This is before the days of DVD, VHS, Betamax, interactive CD-ROM, CDs, the internet, none of that existed. And we even signed releases that just said film. That's why the DVDs that you got, she could feel free to use because no one signed a release for a DVD back then. You know, now they do. Now when we sign a release, it says all technology now and in perpetuity. Things that are not even invented yet. So now they got their asses covered. But now, hold on a second,
No, I want just to say that the film that we did together years ago, The Girl's Best Friend, was shot in 11 days, was shot in 35 millimeters, and so that's the big difference now. It's only 30 years, but that's the difference.
That was a real movie. It
was a story. You were the son of Juliet Anderson.
Comparing that to most of the stuff shot today, where your dialogue is, oh, here's a cup of coffee, blow me. Oh, we're time for a play. That's the extent of what it is nowadays. I call the POV angle.
Yes.
I like that POV. That means the director is also the cameraman and also the actor. Which means he's fucking somebody.
That's a point POV of view.
Okay, here we go. Okay, I'm gonna dance. Okay, good. Now come over here and
down.
Eat this! Thank you. Get down. He's switching as we go. But you see, it's a whole... So back then, you needed real filmmakers to make porn films because it was only film. So a lot of the big directors are in Hollywood today, some of them got their start in New York or in L.A. shooting porn, and now they're
San Francisco
doing
too.
San Francisco. I'm not going to mention names because I don't want to piss off Wes Craven.
Yes.
John Allison, his brother did it mostly for Rocky. A lot of directors had done, you know, both porn and mainstream because you had to be a filmmaker. You have to be a filmmaker if you're going to shoot 16-millimeter film.
Absolutely.
With a Panflex, Panavision. Those cameras, you have to really be a filmmaker, a best boy, assistant director, cameraman, all that stuff. Now, you'd be in a hotel.
Three people and that's it.
Your cook is also your boom handler, also your chef, your actor, you know, such dishing hats. Oh, making hamburgers? Okay, fine. Okay, now we're fucking. Oh, wait a second. Okay. Oh, the pop shot's ready. I need a close-up camera guy. Okay, so that's it was. And there was also the era of those crazy, now they do these plots, like one of the comedians talked about, they make a takeoff of like regular movies, like On Golden Blonde, Beverly Hills Cop later, E3, The Extra Testicle,
yes, correct.
Jurassic Park, Forrest Gump, Saving Ryan's Privates, Coxilla, Schindler's List, Star Wars, The Empire Licks Crack, Josie and the Pussycats.
He knows all the titles.
And then the gay ones, Romeo and Julio, Adam and Steve, best one, Men in Black, Men. Weapons of Mass Destruction. Gay men who are not circumcised. Fantastic Foreskin. The best name for a porn actor was never even used. No one ever used Magic Johnson. That's the best fucking name.
Yeah, right.
Then I did a movie called John Wayne Bobbitt Uncut. Remember that?
Yes.
John Bobbitt.
Did you help him? Did you help him cut?
He used to masturbate like this. I'm making a mainstream film about John Bobbitt. We have Robert De Niro to play John Bobbitt. We have Danny DeVito who plays penis. But that, the titles were actually funnier than. But they did a lot of these movies which had the same exact plot. And you can relate to a lot of them. They're really funny. It was always the pizza man, the carpenter. It was always. Who's there? Pizza man who ordered the large sausage. You said, man, why are you wearing lingerie to meet a pizza man?
That's how I roll.
Oh, I don't have the money to pay for it. We can pay in trade. Why not? Music. Boing, chicka boom, chicka boom, chicka boom. There you go.
Who's this? Pizza man.
I'm the TV repairman. Oh, came out. Pool boy. Oh, and the plumber came to fix your pipes. No problem. Man, why are you wearing an outfit like that to be the plumber? That's how I roll. Okay, let me guess. Don't have the money to pay for it. No, we'll pay in trade. Yeah. Okay. Music. Okay. That was all your plots back then, you know? And then they went to the parodies, right? That was a big deal. One of the comedians eventually had that was a big deal. Then the parody movies, and they were actually pretty funny.
Yes.
And the Hollywood didn't play that first. Hollywood has a problem. Some of them got sued. You know, sometimes you couldn't use a name. It's a letter in the
crap. No.
Can you ask them when they want us to show the film?
Yeah, he said, like, if you want them to show the film, you should wrap up. Like,
okay.
Spielberg letter, I'm romancing the bone. They didn't sue on what's inside or the actual lettering, because it was exactly like Spielberg's lettering. They got sued, but they had to stop. Harley Davidson on the box cover, it goes on the cover. You can see the Harley Davidson label. They got sued. And again, it's not what's inside the movie, it's the box cover. But that's the advertising.
Yes.
You can have a million Harley Davidsons in the film, nobody would care. But they used Harley on the box cover. Nice to see. That's why.
Yeah, but
so when you do parodies,
yeah, give me the, take a video. Ron. Ron.
Somebody told us that they want us to show the film now.
What?
And of course, your opinions are fabulous and
which
interesting.
Which film?
I guess the Joy film? I don't know. Who's in charge? Somebody back there?
We changed the movie.
We can't see you. It's dark back there. If you want to show us the video, show us.
There's a really high budget point for that group.
I don't know.
The film that Jerry chose.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the
panel. All right. Anyway, have fun. Thank you. You don't have to show the whole film. Just show part of it. Joy.
Hold on.
Harley Mansfield.
Hold on. Did anybody else have any questions?
I do.
Go ahead.
What happened to Joe Stryker?
Gained a little weight, still a great looking guy. He tried heterosexual porn, but he's more suited in gay porn. He did better sex scenes. He probably is one of the best looking, I think, actors in Hollywood that porn's ever had. This, when I directed him in a couple of heterosexual films, he could not have a bad angle. Anyway, you shoot this guy, he had a chiseled face, jaw. He's still a great looking guy. He's in a
high school. About the male porn dudes today.
Well, Emmett Stone, Tommy Gunn, they're all good guys. They're nice.
You're my star.
What?
You're my star.
Thank you for that. Emmett Stone was trying to make a movie, which he actually was selling it, where he's trying to say that, I'm alive, he can't be a number one actor, so he finds ways of killing me. It's called Killing One Jeremy. We may make that movie.
He still rules.
Oh, thank you, really sweet. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Appreciate that. And then,
I have a question. Can you talk about, like, the drugs and, like, the fantasy in the 70s and 80s as compared to now, where it's, like, restricted?
Because who would be prosecuted?
Like,
we had cops.
It's, like, clean cut.
It kind of is, yes. The cops would come on our set and prosecute us for what they call pimping. That, you know, that we're, if I'm paying a girl for sex, that's considered to be, you know, a pimp and, an escort. And we beat those cases on two counts, on two deals. One was if you punch somebody in the face, it's against the law. You put on boxing gloves, hit someone in the face, and you videotape it. It's a boxing movie. Drag racing is against the law. Get a cop to shoot it or be on the highway supervising it. It's a drag racing movie. It's protected by freedom of speech, First Amendment protection. So we prove that making movies is not satisfying a job. Like when I make a porn film, I'm not having sex till you want to have it. You're doing it like this. The light gets in there. You know, people say, why do you guys always look like Continental soldiers? We don't. You gotta get your arm out of the way because you can't see it. If I'm like this, you can't see it, so I gotta go like this. we look like British soldiers. You know? They always say that, you know, in front of anybody. Because you want to, you know, have, you know, you got to work. So I'll use her as an example. See, look. See? this is what you want to do.
Jerry
loves it.
Wait. I'm not a
non-nomer.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay! Yay! Yay! Yay! Yay! Yay! Yay! Yay!
Yay! Yay! Think about this. It's really funny also. You know, but what looks good doesn't always feel good because you are a performer.
Where's my phone?
Best example.
Stole my phone.
One of the best Fox covers is this one. You sing the cheek pop out, the girl's eyes like this, and there's a dick right in her mouth. And it's a very popular box cover. Now, it didn't. People stopped to think, wait a minute, to get to the cheeks.
Hello, this is Jerry Visco on Radio Free Brooklyn. It's the Visco Disco, the Stupid Show, which is every Friday, streaming at midnight every Friday. So I want all you stupid and smart people to have a great night and TGIF. Now, I also wanted to read from you to you, Richard Branson from Virgin Atlantic's favorite 10 top Disney quotations, because I feel like they're very, very funny and also helpful. So here's one of them. Life's not a spectator sport. If watching is all you're going to do, then you're going to watch your life go by without you. That's the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And here's another one. Happiness is the richest thing we will ever own. And guess who said that? Donald Duck. Okay, here's another one, and I really recommend you listen. To laugh at yourself is to love yourself. Ha 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 ha! And guess who that is? Mickey Mouse. Yeah, we like Mickey Mouse, you know. Here's another one. You are never too old to be young. And who said that? Snow White. Okay, and this one I think applies to me and plenty of my friends. You're mad, bonkers, off your head. But I'll tell you a secret. All the best people are. And that was Alice in Wonderland, who I think is totally correct. Of course, she was on psychedelics, I think. Here's another one. Open different doors. You may find a you there that you never knew was yours. Anything can happen. That was Mary Poppins, who I always loved. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Here's another one. It's, you are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. Winnie the Pooh. Yes. By the way, my middle name is Winifred, and my sister's name is Winnie. And here's the last one that I'm going to say. The moment you doubt whether you can fly, you cease forever to be able to do it. And that was Peter Pan. So I suggest following these quotations because they may help you. And Richard Branson, who I did meet once, is a cool guy. And of course, the name of his plane is Virgin Atlantic, but I don't think he is a virgin. I actually don't. Anyway, TGIF, and it's Visco Disco, the Stupid Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, midnight. Mwah. Every Friday.
Yes, whatever you do, keep a straight face. Last time it took us 3 days to get him down.
I love to laugh. Loud and long and clear. I love to laugh. It's getting worse every year. The more I laugh, the more I fill with glee.
You're no help at all.
The more the glee, the more I'm a merrier me. It's embarrassing. The more I'm a merrier me.
Some people laugh through their noses, sounding something like this. Dreadful. Some people laugh through their teeth, goodness sakes, hissing and fizzing like snakes. Not at all attractive to my way of thinking.
Some laugh too fast. Some only blast. Ah! Others, they twitter like birds.
You know, you're as bad as he is.
Then there's a kind what can't make up their mind. When things strike me as funny, I can't hide it inside and squeak as the squeakers do. I got to let go with a ho. And
how nice! I was hoping you'd turn up. We all would have such a jolly time.
We love to laugh loud and long and clear. We love to laugh so everybody can hear. The more you laugh.
Whoops, don't you two start. Come back down here.
The more the glee, the more we're